This is Jim Pursley of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church. I'm glad you're taking the time to join me today and listen to this summary message of the sermon preached on April 1st, 2012. We're in a year-long series on the sovereignty of God, and the last 2 weeks we've studied the sovereignty of God the Father in salvation. Last week, the sovereignty of God the Son in salvation, and now the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit in salvation. How the Holy Spirit works in salvation. Now in John chapter 14, 15 and 16, Jesus spoke much and taught the disciples much of the work of the Holy Spirit. And you can read those chapters for yourself. And Jesus told them and promised that there would come the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit coming from the Father and the Son. He would be the counselor, the Spirit of truth. And he says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. How did Jesus come to them? But through the person of the Holy Spirit who came to live in. So it's very important we understand this in John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. Jesus told them, I've told you this while I'm still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. And he told them in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. John chapter 16, verse 14 has an important verse for us to understand of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. He says this, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, Jesus said. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit works to take from the treasuries of heaven the excellencies and glories of God in the person of Jesus Christ and make them known to those chosen of God the Father before the foundation of the world, redeemed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ as he died a sacrificial death on the cross, and in time as the Spirit works to quicken and bring to life, giving faith to those who are the chosen of God that at some particular time, in some particular place, the elect of God will believe. The Holy Spirit works sovereignly in accomplishing the will of God without resistance. No one who is chosen of God, who Christ has died for sacrificially, giving his life on the cross, no one can resist the grace of God given by the Holy Spirit. In other words, those appointed unto salvation will be saved. This is very important, and those who will be saved will also be sanctified. So there is the saving work of the Holy Spirit and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit cannot fail. The Scripture has told us. Now, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we look at a great verse in verse 18. And I'll read it from the NIV, but I would encourage you also to read it from the King James and also from the English Standard Version. And it says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect, I think the word better, behold, it would be better, behold, all behold the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It is the Spirit's will and desire to reveal the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Everything the Holy Spirit does is in relationship to the revelation of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Mark that and keep that close to you. The Holy Spirit counsels his church, the church of Jesus Christ, bringing the church into a relationship, a personal, deep, glorious, worshipful, God-exalting relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the redeemed of God know the Spirit just as we know the Son. And the Holy Spirit works to comfort us, to give us courage for what end? To the end and for the end that we would receive the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This comfort we receive, as we've learned from Ephesians chapter 1, is a comfort that confirms that we have been adopted as sons of God in Jesus Christ. Paul speaks out in Romans chapter 8 that according to the Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. We see God, the creator of heaven and earth, spiritually see Him as our Father through faith in Jesus Christ. The Spirit works assisting us, encouraging us, strengthening us, maintaining us. The Spirit bears up patiently under our weaknesses for our perseverance in Christ for the glory of Christ. It's an important point. We wouldn't persevere in the faith. We couldn't persevere in the faith if the Holy Spirit did not work to cause us to stand. It's His work to cause us to persevere in Christ. He teaches us the truth, reminds us of all that the Lord Jesus has said, that we might bring glory to God through faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is a gift to believers, keeping those who have been elected by God, saved through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. He seals us and is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. The Spirit marks us as being in Christ. He provides for us everything that God has to give His people to keep the people of God forever. And through the Spirit, we are united to Christ forever. Everything done by the Spirit for us is so that we would behold the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is what our text in chapter 3, verse 18, and also I would say this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, teach us. Let's read those verses real quick. They teach us that everything is done, that Christ would be glorified, that we would behold the glory of Christ. Verse 4 of chapter 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. Now get this, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And linking that with chapter 3, verse 18, it comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The face, the person of Jesus Christ is our pursuit, the joys, and the satisfaction that comes from knowing God through faith in Jesus Christ is ever more expounded in our hearts by the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is why He lives in us, that we might know Christ and give glory to God by knowing Him and behold God's glory through the indwelling of the Spirit, as we may see Jesus more clearly. I think these scriptures are beautiful, and they are very appropriate and helpful when it comes to our thinking about salvation. Now, we know that, as we said earlier, God has chosen some before the foundation of the world, and the Spirit effectually calls those who were chosen, for whom Christ died. Now let's understand something. Those who are dead to God, whose minds have been blinded, cannot see, nor will they desire to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. So these who are saved, only the saved, are those who behold the glory of God. Let's say it a different way. Only those who have been chosen before the foundation of the world, redeemed by the blood of Christ, and regenerated by the Holy Spirit, who gives us sight to see, can behold the glory of God in Christ. Those who are beholding the glory of the Lord are currently, right now, through the beholding, being transformed into the same image, the image of Christ. I don't know who said it. I thought it was Hudson Taylor who wrote it in one of his devotionals. And we become what we behold. Maybe he said it, maybe we didn't. But progressive growth, our sanctification, our growing up in Christ, is facilitated through the Spirit as we behold Christ. Behold the Lord's glory, it says. We'll talk about this here in just a moment as well. But all this, that is the saving and the sanctifying, comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. All of it. We owe everything to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And everything the Spirit does in the life of a Christian and through the church is so that we, individually, I think, and as a church, would more and more and more and more behold the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And in the beholding, find our highest satisfaction and delight in Christ. Our salvation means something. Our sanctification becomes effective as we behold the glory of God. Well, let's think about salvation for a minute. As we learned in our last message in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, that the Spirit works through the truth. And we would say this, as the Word of God is preached, the Spirit works. Now, He brings the penetrating light of the glory of the gospel of Christ into the hearts of those chosen of God. But He does this at some point in time. For some, they would say, well, I was 12 when I first beheld the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Some would say I was 20, some would say 30, and so on. But it is through the work of the Spirit. And unless the truth is preached, the truth of the gospel is preached, no one will ever see Christ. It's only as the truth is preached and the Spirit works through the Word that regeneration occurs, as the Spirit is willing. The Holy Spirit is willing, that is, not the spirit of man. Because by nature, all people are unwilling and unable to see the glory of Christ. To all people, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, the gospel means nothing. Now, if the gospel is not preached, we'll capitalize on our abilities to feed the hungry. Feeding the hungry in itself is not bad, and in and of itself, I think it's pretty good. But if there's not light shed through the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, no one will believe. The Spirit won't work, maybe would be the best thing to say. The Spirit won't be working in that situation. The gospel must be preached, because where the gospel is preached, Christ's glory is being exalted and set before people, and the Spirit is pleased to display the glory of Christ. Where Christ is on display, the Spirit will work. But if and every time the gospel is preached and Christ is exalted and He is put on display, the Spirit will shine light upon and in His people. Christians are energized when the Word of God is preached. Christians are energized when the Scriptures are read and Christ is dwelt upon, and we meditate upon Christ and His excellencies and glory. Just an example, when the truth was taught, when Paul was in Philippi down by the river, and Lydia was there with some of her friends in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, she heard the message. Now, she heard the message. She heard the gospel. And the gospel is broad and glorious, and it enfolds the ministry of Jesus Christ. It brings into play the truth of God, the truth about man, and the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says the Lord opened her heart to respond to the message. The Lord opened her heart. The Spirit was pleased to glorify Christ as the message was preached. As Christ was put on display, the Spirit worked. The joyous purpose of the Spirit, if you remember John 16, verse 14, is to make Christ known. And the Spirit will do this as the Word is proclaimed. As Christ is preached, the Spirit will work. We have to proclaim Christ. As Christ is preached, we have to have confidence that the Spirit is pleased to work in the hearts of those who hear. And we may say, well, I didn't see anybody respond today. trust the Lord and His Word. The Spirit will work. Now let's take just a minute, as this is only a summary message, but let's look at sanctification, the Spirit at work in sanctification. And we've read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And the bottom line is this: as transformation takes place as we behold the Lord, as we behold the Lord's glory. I think a great statement that John Piper makes: The work of the Spirit in changing us is not to work directly on our bad habits, but to make us admire Jesus Christ so much that sinful habits feel foreign and distasteful. I think that's a great statement. The Spirit is not primarily concerned with causing you and I to drop our bad habits, but to cause us to change our focus from the cravings of the flesh and the sinful nature to pursuing that which the new man created in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit desires more than anything. It's like flowers desiring rain, if they desire such things, but needing the rain to flourish and grow. How the Spirit works in the hearts of men, causing us to believe and to receive the life of Jesus Christ into our lives. Nothing delights the Spirit more than when we behold Christ, finding all our worth, all joy, and all fullness in Him. I think that that's what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit, being perfectly content in Christ, finding all fullness, all satisfaction, all joys, all pleasantries in Christ. I hope that you desire to be full of the Spirit today. Pursue Christ, and I assure you, according to the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit is at work. In Jesus' name.